Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters, and this is Background Briefing, available 24/7 at backgroundbriefing.org. And joining us now is Maurice Pearl, the former managing director of BlackRock, Inc., who serves as chair of the Patriotic Millionaires, a group of 200 high-net-worth Americans who are committed to building a more prosperous, stable, and inclusive nation. Welcome to Background Briefing, Maurice Pearl.
Great to be in your show, Ian.
Well, thank you, Maurice. And the Republican tax bill has passed the House. It's just up for the Senate now for a final vote. And the president, of course, is eager to sign it. So it is pretty much a done deal. But it does feel like at the last minute, it sort of got sleazier and sleazier. Have you figured out what happened there with Bob Corker? A deal was obviously made, was it not?
Well, I mean, nothing's obvious. I don't read people's minds. But we did send out a piece explaining that somehow he was a no, and he became a yes.
Mm-hmm.
An additional provision was put in, making a huge benefit for people who own buildings where they rent out commercial office space, which includes a building he owns in Tennessee.
Well, but
he has a limited partnership there. And
right. But isn't that same gift in the new tax bill applicable to Donald Trump?
Sure. Oh, sure. I mean, I think we knew that a major part of this was to benefit, you know, sort of wealthy, non-working real estate developers. They have the position that people voted last November, and they voted to give more money to rich New York real estate developers. And that's what they're doing.
But that's not what he said on the campaign trail. Donald Trump basically ran against Wall Street. He tied Hillary Clinton as a creature of Wall Street, and he ran as a populist, an economic populist, and said he was going to create jobs. He was going to give people the best health care. He wasn't going to touch Social Security and Medicare. He ran almost further to the left than Bernie Sanders.
True. And I think he's somehow... I don't know. I honestly don't think he really cares one way or the other about most things. I think he just wants to be a winner.
Mm-hmm.
And he's sort of part of the Republican Party, and that's Republicans have wanted to, like, reduce taxes for the rich for many years, and that's what he's doing. And he's winning, and he's going to go on TV and say he won, and he's the greatest. And, you know, he accomplished something, and, yeah, he did. Or he is.
Well, we know that the bill, obviously, is called tax reform, which is a rather obscene misnomer in this case. But
yes,
it is largely to the benefit of the donors. And the trick they had to have was how do we take care of our donors at the same time con our voters? And Senator Lindsey Graham, even said quite bluntly that donors had called up and said, if you don't pass this bill, don't call us for money. So that's the external reality here. But what's the internal reality with these guys going back home trying to sell this to their constituents? Particularly out here in California, we have 11 Republicans who voted for this bill out of the 14. And it's going to increase people's taxes out here. It's a petty punishment against blue states. It's so partisan, it's just obscene. And, you know, our taxes are going to go up out here because we can no longer deduct state and local taxes. And it's almost a way to punish successful states. It makes no sense. It's the first time I think a tax bill has been so clearly and flagrantly partisan.
Well, it depends how you define successful. They think that Kansas is their success because Kansas, the richest people are getting richer and everyone else is getting poorer. And that's what they think is the right answer for the country. They think California is a gross failure because sort of everyone has jobs and they're, I don't know. I mean, I know that sounds ridiculous to you and our listeners, but I don't think they define successful the same way that you and I do. I think they think that it's just not right that some people are taxed for the benefit of other people, that the rich pay taxes so the poor can have schools, so the rich pay taxes So there's highways and hospitals and libraries and universities that everyone gets to use. And there's a group of people that just think that's not morally right. That's not what God meant, how God meant the world to work. And they're trying to fix it. And they decided that they're going to do that come hell or high water. And it's, you know, our job to provide the hell and high water between now and next November.
Well, let's get to that. And again, I want to reintroduce Morris Pearl, the former managing director of BlackRock, Inc., who serves as the chair of the Patriotic Millionaires, a group of 200 high net worth Americans who are committed to building a more prosperous, stable, and inclusive nation. And just to finish up on trying to understand the psychology of Republicans, both in the House and Senate, who are voting for this incredibly unpopular bill to, you know, show fealty to their donors. You know, you do have an evangelical wing, obviously, or maybe they've essentially taken over the Republican Party, the Bannon kind of Roy Moore wing, if you will. But there's the prosperity gospel, that's very successful televangelist, Osteen. His mantra is, God doesn't want you to be a whiner, God wants you to be a winner. Now, you're a winner, right? And you and the Patriotic Millionaires go on Capitol Hill and try and lobby these guys. So what's the problem here? Why don't they listen to you? Because you guys are the ones that they're basically enthralled with.
I mean, they listen to us, but they just believe to the bottom of their hearts, or at least the bottom of their wallets, that collecting taxes and running the government is just wrong, and they're trying to end it. They're trying to get rid of it. You know, it's like the famous saying, make government small enough so we can drown in a bathtub. They think that the country made a huge wrong turn in like the 1860s, and they're trying to set it back to the right again. You know, they don't believe that there should be things like Social Security and Medicare and Medicaid and all those other things. You know, if you want to know the psychology of the Republicans, you have to talk to somebody like Kevin McCarthy. He's one of your representatives from California, and he's the one who signed off on this thing.
Sure. Right. By the way, you know, he represents Bakersfield, just north of where I'm speaking to you from. And there was a study recently on ignorance in America, the destruction of public education. And guess which city is the most uneducated in the United States?
Doesn't surprise me at all.
Bakersfield.
Yeah, it doesn't surprise me at all. You know, and I think, you know, it's just the same way I don't vote based on what I think will help my income over the next, you know, month or year. Neither do they. They've been convinced not that this is going to help them make more money next year. They've been convinced that somehow this is the right thing to do. And it's morally right. And I think we have to talk about what's morally right and what's evil and how we have to change the direction of the country to be the kind of country where some people help other people, and that's considered okay. That's good.
So you're really basically saying we've got to do start a movement that's kind of the antithesis of Ayn Rand, who, you know, that weird libertarian idea that generosity and helping other people is almost a sin. The selfishness, yeah. Selfishness is a virtue. So is that to say then, to combat the evangelical right, which has captured the Republican Party, along with the libertarian, like the Koch brothers, etc., do we have to revive the religious left in this country?
I think that would be a good thing to do, because, I mean, I think it used to be the people of religion that talked about more equality and more resources for the poor and were preaching for them. That used to be part of what religion did. Now the Republicans say there's only two things the Pope should talk about, bullying homosexuals and preventing abortion. And those are the only two things that they should be working on. And, I mean, both of those, of course, I disagree with. But I think that we have to make some decisions in our country. And, in fact, the Republicans think we have made a decision, and it's what I think is the wrong decision. It's not just because I'm altruistic. I mean, I do think I care about people, but it's also because I think it's better for everybody. I don't want to live in a country with gross inequality. I don't want to live like in a, when I go on vacation in an island, live behind 12-foot walls and be driven around armored cars. I don't like to do that. I don't want our country to be like apartheid South Africa was. So I'm doing what I think is best for me and my family and everybody.
So is there a way, though, to sort of revive the kind of mythology of American egalitarianism? I mean, something seems to have happened. We've gone from a sharing nation to a selfish nation. And I wonder whether the mythology of, you know, the frontier, how people cooperated and they didn't let their neighbors, you know, die of thirst in the desert. I mean, maybe there were also people charging a fortune for the last drop of water. That's obviously a part of the story as well. But my sense is that there is still a kind of egalitarian myth out there, and yet we are becoming the most polarized country in the world, perhaps short of Putin's Russia, yeah, in terms of the distribution of wealth.
Yeah, I mean, that's correct. I think that somehow people have been convinced by the few people that do things like extracting oil and coal from the earth that it's better for everybody to be independent and either succeed or fail in your own, and that, you know, sort of God put this oil and coal under the ground for the benefit of those few who are able to, you know, take over the ownership of the land and extract it. And somehow those people are meant to succeed, and we're not supposed to care about anyone else.
And that's what they call freedom, by the way. That's what the Koch brothers call freedom.
That's exactly what they call freedom. I mean, they've made their money selling things to oil drillers. That's how the Koch fortune was made.
By the way, can I just add something to that, though? Because when you say that's how the Koch fortune was made, Fred Koch, the father of the current Koch brothers, he made his fortune building a oil refinery for Adolf Hitler. The Germans did not have the ability to refine aviation gasoline until Fred Koch brought that technology to Nazi Germany and built that refinery, which enabled the Luftwaffe to fly. And we know what role the Luftwaffe played in World War II. I'm not making this up.
That is true.
You know.
Oh, I know. That is true. That is true, and I'm sure that they are prepared to defend every detail of it. But now, in the present day, they still believe that freedom and a lack of government regulation is what helps people succeed. And yeah, it helps a few people succeed. And if you want a winner-take-all society, then sure, have no regulation, you'll have a few winners pop up at the top. You know, but I think if you want the kind of society where more than a few people are doing well, then you need what we call government. That's how we do things together, through collective actions. That's why our initial founding fathers created things called commonwealths, because there's things they had to do, and they needed commonwealth to do them. That's what the original 13 colonies were called, was commonwealths.
Well, Morris Pearl, I thank you for joining us. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Glad to be in your show, Ian.
And again, I've been speaking with Morris Pearl, who is the former managing director of BlackRock, Inc., who serves as chair of the Patriotic Millionaires, a group of 200 high-net-worth Americans who are committed to building a more prosperous, stable, and inclusive nation. We're going to take a brief station break. We'll be back looking into the blatant stealing of the recent election in Honduras and the craven acceptance by the U.S. government of this illegitimate, corrupt, authoritarian leader with ties to drug traffickers.